Hey everybody, before we start the show today, this is Joey with a quick announcement. During our discussion, there is a major spoiler for Avengers Endgame, and if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame and don't want it spoiled, at minute 1830 through 1930, stop listening. You can skip that. So about 1830 to 1930, skip over that. You'll skip past the Avengers Endgame spoiler. And now, padding out for 2 seconds, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about making comics, and we're also going to be talking about making the screenwriting. Heather Antos is on this episode as well as a special guest. And Heather, your background, I don't know if listeners or folks that follow you on social media know that you have a background in filmmaking, and that was part of your trajectory into comics.
Yeah.
So as well as what you do on a day-to-day basis for work and have done in the past, obviously, with what was that small franchise you worked on, Star Wars?
Yeah, something like that. Deadpool? I don't know. It all blends in.
They might have something to do with movies as well. But the special guest is somebody that has a course coming up at comicsexperience.com, the Introduction to Screenwriting, Screenwriting 101. It is James, and I've got it phonetically. Let's see if I can sotomayor this. James, now here I don't do it. Now I've gotten too far in my head. Heather Antos, James Janowski.
James Janowski, there you go. Excellent.
James Janowski. James, thanks for doing this. I appreciate you making the time and coming on and talking about the screenwriting course and what folks can expect from that. This is the first time we've been able to chat about this, and I know it's something that's happened at Comic Experience in the past, and it's super interesting that there's a course that you can do through Comics Experience that is screenwriting related. And as you know, we're talking about off the top, Heather's background includes filmmaking and, you know, obviously the world of comics and movies and TV and streaming and audio recording and podcasts have all started to have a lot more crossover than it feels like they even did 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's I would definitely agree with that. And by the way, happy to be here and happy to be speaking with both of you. This is a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to this. You know, film has the way that film is being taught and has altered and changed, I think, since I went to film school at Columbia University and got my master's degree back in the mid-90s. And I think it has a lot to do with just the proliferation of information that's out there for people to learn and know different types of films and see different types of films, and the access to information about filmmaking. You know, when I was teaching at the School of Visual Arts, I would have, this is kind of funny, the founder of nofilmschool.com would come into film school and talk to students and about the film. He would show his film, talk about his filmmaking, and you know, it's interesting how, and I can see the change in the type of movies and the intelligence of the filmmaking that's coming out of film schools now, from the time I had gone to film school to today. And I think it really has a lot to do with just the amount of information that students are getting before they even come into a classroom. That doesn't necessarily make it that they still need to learn certain aspects of creating, because I remember a teacher of mine at Columbia, he said, it's one thing to watch movies and critique them. There's a totally different mindset to actually creating a story and understanding how to do this by imagery and understanding the motivations of characters and actually in creating something. And but I do have to say that last year when I was teaching the class, the students, you know, just impressed with the amount of talent that they were bringing to the table and the ability to, they'd already taken some of the classes with Andy Schmidt, the founder of Comics Experience, in the comic book classes and the writing classes. They really came to play, and they really took to everything that I was teaching about the medium, aspects of how to approach writing a screenplay, and the talent. I was really impressed with how the quality of the work that I was getting.
Nice.
In the classroom.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because it's a thing I run into a lot you know, we get people from TV and film who want to do comics or fans of comics. And I've often found, in my experience, it's easier to teach a comic book writer how to write a screenplay than it is to teach a screenwriter how to write a comic book.
Oh, interesting.
I was going to say, as screenwriting, you get movement in a way that you don't with comic books. And so, like, you'll get panels where, and you pan down to see so-and-so in the foreground doing this, and then far off in the distance, so-and-so is having a conversation, and they see, and it's just, you don't get, you can't move the camera in one panel. You know, you can't have multiple action in one panel. And it's a hard habit to break, I found, for folks.
Yeah, you know, a few years ago, Warner Brothers had hired me to moderate a Q&A with the writer of the film Prisoner. I don't know if you remember the film Prisoner with Hugh Jackman and Paul Dano. And before the Q&A, we got talking about comic books, and he said, you know, I've written a few comic books, or at least he's attempted to do that. And he said, you know, I've learned a lot more by being able to focus on going from panel to panel, and that, I think that helped my screenwriting. So I think there's something to that.
It simplifies it, I think. You know, like I think there comes a time where people, you know, they want to tell these massive complex stories, but in order to tell these massive complex stories, you need to keep things simple. They need to be understandable, and that is one thing that I think people benefit from comics, from learning to write comics, is just how simple you do have to make things.
You know, one of the things that I like to teach in the classes, I give them a taste, and definitely more in the advanced class when we get there, about the actual medium and how the medium works and how the medium can also be a part of the storytelling. And, you know, I feel as though that's similar to comic books, would you say? That if they understand, well, the artist more than I think maybe the writer, but if they understand how the medium, well, maybe even the writer, if the writer understands a little bit more about the medium, they can kind of write to the strengths of the artist and understand how they may create a particular page to be a part of the storytelling, as well as the actual dialogue and the visuals itself.
Oh, 100%. I believe in that 100%. I mean, it's something I took with me when I was studying film. I wanted to be a producer. And I took it upon myself, you know, if I'm going to be coordinating and communicating with directors and with cinematographers and, you know, prop designers, et cetera, I want to teach myself as much as I can about these different aspects, because then I understand what they're doing. So then I can understand how to better, you know, manage what I'm doing. So it helps them produce better work. And I feel the same thing happens in comics. You know, if writers understand, even have a glimpse a little bit better about like what a colorist does and what a colorist is looking for, or what an artist does and what an artist is looking for, it can only benefit the product as a whole.
Yeah. One of the things that I emphasize, I did my undergrad at Penn State University and got my, got a degree in film and video with a minor in theater, and then realized that I needed to go on to continue that film education at Columbia, which is known for its screenwriting. And then was teaching, you know, screenwriting and some other classes at the School of Visual Arts in New York City. And one of the things that I wanted to do, because, you know, if you take all these classes, you learn what I think works and what doesn't work in film school. And I really emphasize, the idea of understanding the medium, but also going through genres. And one of the things I like to do with the screenwriting class that I'm going to be teaching in August, that starts in August on comicsexperience.com, is we each week there's an exercise. It's not just about creating a script that's going to be shot. It's about focusing on the actual writing and understanding what you're doing by dealing with, say, the first 10 pages, understanding how to write a third act resolution, differences between scenes and sequences. So there's actual exercises rather than just dealing with you're going to write a 15-page script or a 5-page script and you're going to go shoot it. But I really want them to focus on that. And each week, I go over certain genres, and then you write in that particular genre. Because I think I want to give them a framework so that way they can come to the table and learn a little something about a particular genre, start to learn a little bit about different aspects of these of the story and how you approach those. And that's one of the things that I do when I teach the screenwriting. And that's something that I've picked up over 20 years of going to film schools and also teaching students.
Excellent. I think the you know, putting a point on it and trying not to jump too far ahead, I think what has James on the in the past, Heather's talked a lot about her, obviously her role on the editorial side, but she's actually been active in doing a lot of what you're talking about and what she's mentioned and doing all aspects of making comics and the actual doing part. And it seems like, you know, it's no great mystery to much of life, but it is one of those things that sometimes is a little more obvious after you start doing it. Until you actually start doing it, you don't really know how to do it. And yep. Sometimes that answer can feel a little BS-y if you're hearing like, well, how do you make a comic? Well, you just do it. Well, how do you write a screenplay? Well, you just do it. Yep. To actively get in and start doing the work and roll up your sleeves to make a thing and then go, why isn't this working? And then be able to have that feedback and go, oh, that's why this isn't working. Or, oh, I thought I was writing this kind of movie, and it's entirely this kind of movie. And, you know, one aspect that that interests me is in the teaching overall, I guess, is if you see, and you've touched on it a bit, I guess common issues or common, not problems, but, you know, the people making the same kind of mistakes, because these are the mistakes that you make getting into something like this.
Yes. There's definitely things that I see with first-time writers and certain mistakes that they make that somehow they mistake action and movement for drama, and you know, somehow they have this scene where they get in a car and they're rushing to go to some place, and somehow that they think that's somehow dramatic. Well, it can be depending on the situation, but sometimes it's just a matter of understanding the difference between drama and action. You know, for me, to bring up Captain America, the first Avenger, I thought the first two thirds of that movie was great, but then I thought the last third was all action and it kind of lost drama. Mm-hmm. And I thought it lost a little bit of its energy. I mean, I loved the first two thirds of that. And so that kind of like, forgetting that there should be this conflict between the characters and not just fight and action. I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, sure, you can have 20 minutes of a guy punching someone, right? And there's your action, but it's the why he's punching that someone, that's the drama. And you need to make sure you establish the why before you have the how.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. You know, there's a lot of different things that I cover in the class. Luckily, I'm able to show certain clips of certain things, and it really helps demonstrate and illustrate to them that this is how you may want to approach a certain scene or approach a certain way of this within this particular genre. I try to show clips from certain genres to get across those ideas. But I always emphasize to make sure they understand you're not directing the film. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe you will someday, but you don't want to be putting in there certain camera angles and you're, you know, the same thing with a comic book. You don't want to be sitting there going, this panel should be a full page, you know, or a little snip or something. You don't want to like be dictating to the artist what they're going to be doing, but you may be able to write in a certain way to say, this is what I think I think this may work best, and then let the artist take it from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit, you know, some artists I've talked to do prefer a little bit more direction than others when it comes to how to lay out the page. But I think there's a difference between dictating and allowing collaborative freedom, mm-hmm. and understanding that, you know, everyone has equal ownership to a certain extent.
Yeah, you know, to get back to what I was kind of talking about, there's a professor at Columbia University, James Seamus, who also had started this company called Good Machine and then went on to be the CEO of Focus Features for about 12 years. and he's written and won a couple of Oscars, I believe, with, and he's worked exclusively with Ang Lee for numerous years, ever since Ang Lee came out of NYU. And you know, he said you basically want the reader to be seeing the movie in their head, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I approached the idea of understanding the medium, understand that there's ways that you can write a particular scene in a particular way to help the reader see the film in their head while they're reading it, but not directing the film. And I think that's important.
And you mentioned collaboration too, and that's a whole other thing that take away the comics angle of learning how to collaborate and learning how folks do their job. There's so much to think about in film, in the process of just getting it written, you writing it, a group of people writing it, you with a producer or whoever else you're working with, a co-writer, but getting to the actual making of part, it's such an interesting road to go from A to B to C to D to try to get to
Yeah, you
C
know,
to come out the other side.
yeah, you know, there's something singular to writing a screenplay, but it's all about you're creating something that's going to be put together by a whole crew, a small army of people that's going to be putting this thing together and making it, and understanding to that, and not only that, with just the creating itself, you're always, if you're collaborating with someone, I've been working on a TV pilot with someone, and there's got to be this ebb and flow between you. You've got to hope you have a certain understanding of the medium itself, and then you have to, there's moments where you have to actually, compromise and go, all right, I see what you like. I'm not quite sure if this works, but we can kind of massage it and do it this way, and I think that's important. And honestly, I think sometimes working with someone else, there's a great benefit to that because they see certain things that you may not be able to see as you're writing. You know, Wes Anderson, if you take a look at all of his films and his scripts, he's usually written it with somebody else. And the majority of the time, at least of late, I think he's writing them with different people. And I heard him in a podcast once talking that he really likes to work with different people so he has a different perspective. And I think that is important.
Yeah, I mean that part of the thing is, getting someone else's eyes on it. That's where I think in comics, aside from the project management aspect that an editor does, like one of the editor's main jobs is to be the first reader, and to be the person to have the fresh set of eyes because the writer's been living with it in their heads for so long. And even as an editor, like things I do at Valiant is, I'm in the middle of developing a bunch of different projects all at the same time that I've been living with in my head for, months with this writer, that sometimes I'll get a script come in and I'll give it to one of the other editors that is fresh to this and get their input because they're going to see something that I'm not seeing because I've read and stared at these words for endless amount of hours.
Something recently I heard in an interview, the end game. It's everyone will talk about the Russo brothers and how much they brought to that, to the film and the to that movie. But I loved it in an interview. They were talking about how they were editing the film, and it was the editor, at the end where Tony Stark has the Infinity Gauntlet on his hand, and he snaps and goes, "I am Iron Man." And it was the editor that gave that line to harken back to the very first movie when he's in front of the crowd and he goes, "I am Iron Man." And that's where that came from. And then they heard that and they were like, "We got to do a reshoot now." It's like they thought that was such a great idea. And, that's film in a nutshell. Your script, when you write it it's sent off to, it's being greenlit and it's going to be shot and it's in production. Yeah, that script is actually not done until the editing. I went to lunch a few years ago with one of the producers of Beasts of Southern Wild, which was just a fantastic film, and I recommend everybody seeing it. He basically told me that it took him about a year in editing to try to find the movie, which when you watch the movie, you're like, this is just fantastic. This is so imaginative. You would just think that they just they went, they shot it, they edited it, and it was done. You know, they did it in like a couple of weeks. But sometimes you have to go in and start moving things around and start to realize that, oh, that scene that was in the third act, actually, in some strange way, for whatever reason, what's better in the first act.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always an understanding that the script is never really done until the film is actually shot and edited and then in the can.
And likewise with comics, the script is never done until after the art is drawn. I mean, you know, whether you write your scripts Marvel style or a little bit more straightforward, most writers, in general best practice, they do this thing called the lettering draft, where they take their first script that was handed to the artist to draw off of, the artist drew it, and now they look at the artist's art, those 20 pages or however many, and then they're like, okay, this is the dialogue I wrote originally, but they'll do little tweaks to better suit the art, because, you know, things change. Like you said, moments change. A moment might come across a different way, or you might get a stroke of inspiration or come up with a better line or what have you. And just like film, the script is not done until the day that book goes to print.
Something happened yesterday. I'm making a comic. It's my first one. And I have such a greater appreciation for the art form, for artists, for the whole industry after doing this. Something we had discussed earlier about, you know, you can't really learn and know how to do it until you actually sit down and try to make something. And I have there's four pages of a scene, and I had edits to the first two pages and the fourth page. And so I got back the edits to the first, second, and fourth page. And I'm reading this, I'm like going, there's a page missing here, and I don't know if I need it. I'm like, what have I done? I just spent a lot of money to have it penciled, inked, colored, and lettered. I don't know if I need this page. So yes, it's amazing how, like, how did that happen? What did I do? How did I miss that? So yeah, it's amazing how it's at the tail end, you know, until it's actually, you know, ready to go to print or in the can. It's always moving. It's almost got its own life force. It's interesting.
That's what that comic was about. If only I'd known that from the start. I have felt like that a number of times. Well, so James, with the class, circling back around to that, what could somebody expect for doing this class and not just limiting it to the class, I guess any kind of basic suggestions you give people, whether they're students, whether they're, hey, you know, I'm 30-something and I really want to try to make a movie because I realize I got a production studio in my pocket that can make phone calls and get on the internet and I really want to make something. What are some things that you would suggest to them that they do to, I don't know if it's looking for reference or like a basic starting point or a couple ideas that they should look at to get going?
Well, one of the great things about doing these exercises in different genres is, one, they may find out that they like a particular genre and they're maybe better at a particular genre than they realized. Then if they're doing these little snippets, these little exercises of the first 10 pages, or they're working on the resolution of a third act, or they're doing a sequence, you know, maybe that sparks an idea, and they can take that little idea that they created for the exercise and then turn that into a larger script. When it comes to actually entering into the industry, one of the things that I tell my students is, you know, when it comes to you do want to make a short film. Now, maybe you want to just be a screenwriter and you don't want to have to do with it, but if you're looking to direct, you want to make a short film, and the key thing about making a short film, one, you got to make sure it's good. you have to. A lot of people make short films.
Oh, I laugh but, as somebody who occasionally gets sent short films.
There's a lot of them out there.
There are a lot of them out there.
Well, the key thing that I always emphasize with my students is, and this came from teaching a class. I was teaching at the School of Visual Arts, and this higher up person was talking to me. He was like, you should teach them how to make posters. And I was stunned by that. And I'm like, I want posters. And I was like, oh, he wants me to teach him a little bit about marketing. Okay, I got it. But then I was like thinking, you know, there's something different to being a film student having a short film. Obviously, you want to market it in a particular way or have some kind of material, but your short film should be promoting you as the filmmaker. It should be demonstrating that you know how to tell a story, that you know how to direct a film, and you have an understanding of the craft. And that's really what that film should, short film should be, because when hopefully you end up turning that into something bigger and you're making longer films and somebody's hiring you to do that, or even doing television, or anything, then you will be probably promoting that product rather than it promoting you. But hopefully to some degree, I guess it'll be promoting both of you at the same time. But I once moderated a Q&A with a director who I won't name, but just as the film ended, I went out and met him, and he said, "I don't make movies anymore, I just promote them." I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like stunned at his admission. But there's truth into it. That's kind of, they're obligated, it's contractual that they have to go out and do this promotion of the movies.
Wow, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, again, just what has shifted since you've started, and in just the last few years alone, and how stuff is distributed and picked up and made, and it's
Oh, it's a brand new world out there. I mean, we are going to see. It's to me, it's sad because with the with a purchase of with Disney purchasing Fox, we're going to see less a diversity mix of films out there, of bigger budgeted films, and that saddens me. Thankfully, they're going to keep Fox Searchlight around, which I really love. I think those guys that work there are great. And I worked with them in the past, and they've hired me to do things. But you've got Netflix, you've got Hulu with their shows, you've got Apple now who's going to get into streaming. So it's a brand new world, and it's all about content. Content is king. They want something, and one of the great things about they're looking for branded material, and if you're creating a comic, they're looking for something that works now, has a certain amount of following, and they're probably more willing to purchase a material, like a comic book idea, an IP, than a spec script, just because they can see it works in a particular medium.
Interesting. So I think what we're saying is make comics and make short films and make screenwriting. I think it's all in the big swirl, so we don't have to choose. That's
I think and think at the end of the day, there's you get so much more out of doing the thing. You can't just read about it in a book.
no doubt. And it's one of those things. I actually think that the screenwriting class that I'm going to be teaching, which starts August 12th, is on comicsexperience.com, is if you've taken a comic book writing class, I think you can only get better by taking this class. The things that I'm teaching you about slow disclosure, even though I only touch upon it, which is going to be, I'm going to go more in depth about just something of slow disclosure in the advanced class and other aspects of the medium and the storytelling and the language, which I think doesn't necessarily translate completely over to comic books, but it's in the same ballpark, I think.
For sure. It sounds like it's a good exercise, regardless, just from what it sounds like from both of you and your experiences, and how things cross over or at times don't, and then the learning curve associated therein. And I feel like I have to plug a short film. I feel like I've been too disparaging. the original, I had not remembered that the guy that made Lights Out was the guy that made Shazam, the David Sandberg. And Lights Out is one of those few short films that I found incredibly memorable, because it's a great little weird short film that kind of came out of nowhere and then just blew up. And then this guy made a feature of Lights Out, which I haven't seen. I've only seen a short because it's free on the internet. What else, as far as reaching out to you and looking for you, are there other places folks can find you online, James?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Big Polish Guy, and then on Twitter, and Thank you, Heather. I appreciate
No,
that.
I
And
like
then,
that. I like that.
yep. And then, on Twitter, I just changed it because I'm a big baseball fan, and but I just changed it back to the original handle I had earlier in the year. It's Hey Big Polish Guy, because somebody
Oh.
out there took my Big Polish Guy. So,
Hey,
and Hey
big
Big
Polish
Polish.
guy.
That's right on Twitter.
Well, like James has mentioned, this go over to comicsexperience.com. You can find out more information about the screenwriting 101 course and be able to get on that before it kicks off in August. And Heather, we were talking a little bit. You probably can't announce the other conventions yet. That'll be down the road.
Yeah, those will be. I got two huge convention invites this week. Unfortunately, I can't talk about them yet. But if you follow me on Twitter or my website at Heather Antos, announcements will be coming as soon as I can speak about them.
That is fantastic. And as you mentioned, things at Valiant are hopping and hopping as ever.
Oh yeah, we got lots of exciting things. We just put a really cool package together to the media for a big announcement coming soon. Super exciting. I'm sorry for teasing all of these exciting things, but they are very exciting, and I'm very excited about them, and I'm excited for you to be excited about them too.
It's the Valiant Excitement Pack, it sounds like. Look for that announcement forthcoming and get ready to be excited. Possibly a San Diego, possibly a New York Comic, maybe this year. Like
Oh,
they'll something
definitely this
exciting.
year. Definitely. We have some really huge things getting announced very soon.
Well, that is exciting as ever. If you would like to have something talked about here on the show, this format was a little bit different. If you're listening for the first time, usually we take questions from listeners or have a predetermined topic in a different way. But it was you can email info@comicsexperience.com, give the address before saying it was great that James, you were able to hop on and talk about everything. And I know it is just a drop in the bucket as getting into something like screenwriting. So I appreciate it and the chance to talk about what you do in the class and how listeners, if they have even an inkling and an interest, could get going on something like that, because it can be a lot of fun, and it seems like it's just a process that is ongoing. You never get to the end of it, unless you're that director who was just moving on to promotion.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. This has been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed the conversation. This is great.
Excellent. Well, until next time, keep making comics.